Well, good morning to everyone. Welcome to being here today. This is the Lord's Day. We do have, as David mentioned in our announcements, we have some visiting with us. Certainly glad that you are here. We do have some of our regulars who are missing as well, and it is the county spring break, and perhaps some families have taken the opportunity to leave, and as mentioned, some are sick. And Brother Wayne is gone in Texas to hold a meeting. So if you're visiting today, just let you know I'm not the regular preacher. We're just trying to make do until he gets back. But I appreciate you being here and hope the things that we'll discuss today will be a benefit to you. I want to speak on a subject. And I told Brother Wayne 2 weeks ago when he spoke on the subject of the keys to rejoicing in the Lord. You may remember 2 weeks ago today, and he used as a passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, when meditate upon these things. And he had told me a few weeks ago that he was going to be gone. I said, I got my lesson already. Well, he pretty well torpedoed most of my lesson. So I surely cannot outdo Brother Wayne. I understand that. So what I have taken it and maybe modified it just a little bit and taken a different course. And rather than use that as a text of our verse, we may refer to it here in a few minutes. We want to talk about the concept of biblical meditation. Are you one that gives yourself to meditation? Do you meditate upon the Scriptures? Have you learned the power that you can receive, the strength, the encouragement that you can get from God's Word if you just simply take it and you meditate upon it? You know, Brother Wayne does an excellent job in preaching the gospel, and I don't know if I have ever been in the presence of anyone for any length of time that I have learned so much from in his studies and preparing and delivering his lessons. One thing that he does do, and that he does give a handout in each lesson, that is something that's benefit. You can follow along with them. You know where he's at. You know how much more he likes before he's finished, ever how you want to use it, but it's also something that you can take home with you. As Brother Tim Norman used to say, on Thursday at 2:30, can you remember or can you reflect upon what we talked about Sunday in worship services? This would be a good tool to use to reflect upon it. I have stood in the back here as other places, and for years people will come by after you teach a lesson, and they want to compliment you and encourage you by saying, it was a good lesson. Okay, well, thank you for the kind words. Thank you for the encouragement. I know Brother Wayne feels the very same way. We appreciate that. But we hope that the lesson will mean more to you than just, it was good. We hope that you'll take the message, the Scripture that was taught, and you will study it, that you will meditate upon it, that you will reflect upon it, and let the power of the Word have impact upon your lives. There's a verse of Scripture that came to me after communion I thought of, and I want to use. I don't have it on the board, but I want to use it to introduce our lesson this morning, and then we'll go into some of the other Scriptures. And this is in the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, when it talks about God's Word. And I believe this illustrates to us what God's Word can do. In verse 12, 11 and 12, it says, Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Really, verse 12 is the one I want. It says, for the word of God is living, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and to separate the joints from the marrow, and the discerner and the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, that's powerful. But the word of God can do that. And when we come here on the Lord's Day and we hear the word proclaimed, let's come with the idea, I want to take something home with me. I'm not just going to leave it here in the building. I'm going to take it home with me and I'm going to reflect upon it. I'm going to give thought to it, serious consideration, and it's going to mold me and shape me to be what God wants me to be. Then every next verse, I believe, also is encouraging for, and it's good for us to think about. There is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we have to do. God sees everything. God knows. And so if we're just simply giving lip service to God's Word, we've heard it once, check mark, I've done it, I'm done for the week. I don't have to have any more to next Sunday. That's not the intent. The intent of hearing God's Word proclaimed is to create faith within us. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So when we come into our assemblies and we hear God's Word, take those things. Don't let it forget. Don't forget what you've heard. And then spend periods of meditation. I want to talk to you about biblical meditation today. We talk about the Christian and meditation of what is involved. And I hope perhaps maybe it can stir you up a little bit. There is much to be said about meditation. Daniel, he read some verses of Scripture. We want you to look at those and just a few more. He says in Psalms 119, he said, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You through your commandments," that is the word, "you make me wiser than my enemies." Now, don't we want to be wiser than those who are enemies? What does that? It is God's word that does that. Let me continue. In verse 99, it says, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from evil, every evil way, that I may keep your word." Then he continues on. He says, "I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And though your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgment." You know, I wish it was that every sermon that you've ever heard that you could retain it. You could keep it. I know there are some sermons that stand in my memory that I'll never forget. I've been a Christian now for... I got to do some quick math right quick. Somewhere around 49 years. And one of the first meetings that I went to was Brother Roy Cogdell and Brother Balnob when he held a meeting there. I still remember the meeting held in the entire book of Acts. He was a lawyer by training, by education. And he presented it that way and talked about it that way, the Lord's death and preaching in the book of Acts. Then William Wallace Jr. was the next preacher that we had in the meeting. And J.T. Smith, we had a couple meetings with him. I could keep throwing several names. Some of them don't mean anything to you. It may mean something to some of you, those who go back as far as I go back. But I do remember many lessons that I've heard over the decades. Honestly, I don't remember every one of them. But there's some that does stand out. There are some that had a greater effect upon me, that really challenged me, not only in my thinking, but also in my life and in my conduct. Well, that's what God's Word is supposed to do. Researchers tell us that perhaps every day we have perhaps thousands of thoughts. 70, perhaps 80% of our thoughts may not always be good. I mean, some people, they may have a way of entertaining bad thoughts. And they don't necessarily be necessarily sinful thoughts, but they can be negative thoughts. Not necessarily profitable thoughts. How do we control our thinking? Well, it requires discipline on our part. But God's Word is like that. You take in a verse of Scripture, open the Bible up, read it, or reflect of one, a teaching that you have in memory. Think about it. Say it to yourself over and over again. Think about those words and what it implies to you and what it can bring to your life if you change and transform to it. I know there are many people today who are overstressed and they said, "I got so much going on in my life. I got problems at work, got problems with family, got problems everywhere I turn. I got problems. Our country has problems." How do you deal with stress? Many people today are returning or going to some type of meditation. There's the Eastern meditation, you know, and the yoga meditation that is popular, and where they will simply sit in a certain position and they will arch their back and they will hold their fingers out and lean back and they will close their eyes and have tranquil thoughts about some beautiful environment that they're in. They breathe deeply and try to relax to get rid of the stress. And it may work. That may be one type of meditation that is profitable to some people. That's not the meditation that I'm talking about today. That's not biblical meditation that it talks about in the Scripture. And as we read about. But yet it's meditation that we need to learn to really do every day of our life. And before we have any kind of situation that we're about to decide upon or a choice that we have to make, I think it's good to call to memory what the Lord has said to us in His Word. I'm not known to be a great thinker. No one ever called me that. But I think a lot more than I used to. And maybe it's because of the age, maybe bringing in just a little bit of wisdom. And perhaps maybe looking at the hourglass and see that it's running out and making sure that I made a lot of mistakes in my life. I don't want to make any more than I have to make. So I start giving a lot of deliberation to a lot of choices that I make. You know, if you're getting married, I hope that you give a lot of thought to it. That may require meditation. You know, think about what's going on, your responsibilities, how you're going to provide for your family, and how your life's going to change. If you're going to have children, Wayne talked about that last week, about having children, the change comes to your life. It is an awakening. Whatever endeavor, if you're starting a business or you're starting a new job. I've been giving a lot of meditation lately to retirement. I don't mind telling you that. I've told you, talked about it before. Kathy's already moved into it. I've got a couple months away. And we've been thinking about it for years, but you've been planning for it too. And we may not even get there. It may not turn out the way that you want it to. Oftentimes things don't. But you sort of plan. You think about it. Yes, you dwell upon it. And some of these things are involved in meditation. But I want to go ahead and talk about meditation and define it for us before we move further. Webster defines this way: to keep the mind in a state of contemplation, to dwell on anything in thought, to think seriously, to muse, to collocate or to reflect, to propose, to intend, to design, to plan by resolving in your mind. Okay? I think we've done that for various things, as we've already discussed, as we do it perhaps on a daily basis, and important events. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words defines it or signifies making those things the subject of thoughtful consideration or carefully reflecting upon them. Okay, taking consideration of the Bible, the Scripture. What does the Bible say in regard to something? If I find myself in a situation that where I'm married and divorced, what does the Bible say about marriage and divorce? I have to give careful deliberation. I want to be found acceptable to the Lord. Or any other temptation that I'm involved with. Any other kind of business arrangement that I'm involved with. Whatever is in front of us, we have to think, what does the Bible say to me? Read the passage of Scripture. Meditate about it. And you can't really give yourself to thoughtful meditation without prayer. And we're going to come back and talk to that here in just a few moments. But how important it is, though, for us to learn how to meditate properly. The idea of thinking of meditating is too seriously considered the impact of something that has in your life. It's a serious thing to dwell or contemplate on some truth or reality that's already revealed. Meditation simply means to think. It means to contemplate. But more specifically for the Christian, it means to think about God. Think about His Word. Your relationship with Him. Is there ever a time that you just sit down and you think? Is this something that you're already doing? I hope so. You ever been to a funeral? Sobering, isn't it? Someone that's real close to you? Family member? Someone you work with every day? A tragedy all of a sudden happens. It's very sobering. Makes you think about how serious and how life really is. It can be just taken away from you in just a moment's notice. Let's look at some examples in Scripture. The word for think or meditate. The word that we're going to be using and referring to this morning is found over 41 times in the New Testament. Sometimes maybe use the word think, or it could be the word meditate. We're giving serious thought, consideration to something. Let's look at a couple of passages of Scripture. In the book of Mark, chapter 11, and verse 31. Remember when the Jewish leaders, they came to Jesus. Jesus had been teaching. And they came to Him. They asked Him the question. They said, by what authority do you do these things? And He said, well, I'll answer your question if you'll answer my question. The baptism of John. Is it from heaven? Is it from men? I mean, the question was, they could not answer it. They begin to reason in themselves. And they're saying, well, if we say it's from God, if it's from heaven, then He'll say, well, why didn't you obey? They were disturbed over their answer. They could not give a proper answer. They were afraid of the people of giving an answer that they wanted to give. But the Scripture says they reasoned with themselves. Do you do that? I hope you do. We all do. You know, I do that when the guy tells me I need new tires. Okay, let me go look them. Let me see. I want to reason with myself. I want to be able to justify to myself me purchasing tires. I hear what you say. I want to look at them. So we have to apply reasoning. Another verse of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 9. It says, Abraham by faith offered up Isaac. Let me turn to the passage of Scripture and read it in its entirety. And I think you can understand that here God had promised Abraham that he was going to be the one who, through his seed, all nations would be blessed. But then he says in Hebrews chapter 11 and in let's look at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, to whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Abraham knew that God promised me that his people would come from my seed, from my son. It's through my lineage that would be his people. And now he's asking me to offer a sacrifice, that son of promise. We'll read on. And verse 19, concluding that God, or accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Abraham's faith in God was so great. He believed what God had promised. He believed that he accounted it that God would raise him from the dead. God would do what he said he would do, even if he had to raise him from the dead. And he had resolved himself that I'm going to obey God. I will offer him as a sacrifice. He did that by faith. Why such an emphasis upon this word? Meditate. Think. Because it's a word we either do not, that we do not give enough weight to. You know, the Scriptures tells us to think on these things. Oftentimes we try to steer away from it. Scriptures tells us to meditate on these things. Why do we not do it? Are we afraid of the impact it will have in our life? Do we not really want to be transformed and changed to be what God wants us to be? I believe David was a young man. And he was one who was in shepherd fields, but he knew the Scriptures. And as he practiced with a slingshot, he contemplated God's Word. Of what he knew God's Word was, he contemplated it. And all through the Old Testament, we can see people giving serious thought to God's Word. Joseph, when he was in Potiphar's house as a slave, and Potiphar's wife was making grabs for him and coming after him and hitting on him. And what did he say? He said, how can I do this thing and sin against God? He had given it careful consideration. He said, I can't do it. That's what meditating upon God's Word would do for you. Yes, we need to learn to meditate. There's meditation in some Scripture. Let's look at some of the passages of Scripture, and I'm going to turn to a few of them. This one is going to be in the book of Genesis in chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24 and in verse 63. And this is simply illustrates an idea of meditation, this having to do with Isaac. Isaac was grown. He needed a wife. And so his father Abraham said, I know what we'll do. I'll send a servant over to our homeland, to Nahor, to get him a wife and bring back to him. And so how long the servant was gone, I don't know. But he went and he secured bringing Rebecca back. And when she had come back, what was he doing? What does the Scripture say that he was doing? And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And of course, then he lifted his eyes, he looked, and there the camels were coming, and then Rebecca lifted her eyes, and they saw each other. You know the story, love at first sight, okay? But he was meditating in the field. You have a quiet place you go to where you meditate? Is it a chair in the backyard, a swing? Do you go to the room and just simply sit in there and turn everything off and reflect and think? You find there are certain places that you can go where it's more profitable when you do that? Do you realize the benefit that you can get from that and you want more of it as you do it? Another example is the book of Joshua. Turn with me to the book of Joshua chapter 1. Here they are preparing now. Moses had died and preparing to cross over the Jordan River. God gives charge to Joshua and he says, let's begin in verse 5. Verse 6, rather, he said, be strong and of good courage. And to this people you will shall divide an inheritance in the land which I swore the fathers I gave them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. Then he said in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Did you get that? God's charge to Joshua, who's now the leading of God's people, took the place of Moses as they were going in the promised land. He told him, he said, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. What wonderful advice. That's really what we need. We need to heed the same advice. Take God's word, open it up, read it, meditate upon it. And take heed that you do all that is written in the Word. Another passage of Scripture. And I'm getting a little behind. Another passage of Scripture in the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Where it says, blessed is the man who walks in the counsel, not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, what does he do? He meditates day and night. What is the person who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he shall do, he will prosper. Meditate upon God's word. These are some powerful examples we can see where God speaks to individuals in the Scriptures to tell them to meditate upon what he has said. Another passage of Scripture, as we continue on, we've already read part of it over in the book of Psalms 119. And I'm not going to go ahead and read it again, but I'm going to pick a couple of the verses out. Let's look at verse 97 where it says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Then verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Any of you ever walked down some dark paths at night? When there's no street lights? When there is no moon? You have a new moon out there, and that's about as dark it gets. Pretty dark. But when you have some illumination, you can see where you're going. You can see what's in front of you. You can see what's around your feet. You ever walk through a pathway that's illuminated? A sidewalk that's lit up? How comforting that is. You can see everything in front of you. There's nothing to trip over. There's nothing to stumble over. Nothing to cause you to fall. But he said God's word is like that when we give ourselves to meditation. And another verse of Scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15. Paul speaking to Timothy, he just simply says to meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Here Paul talks to the young man who's a student of the God word, of the Word. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. But he said, that meditate upon these things. Give yourself to it. I want to think that what Paul would say to Timothy, he says to every one of us. There is power in the Word. It is sharper than any two-edged sword made by man. It can change us. It can transform us. It can make us what God wants us to be. So how do we meditate? We say, well, Gary, you talked about meditation, how you do it. I'm not an expert on it. I'm very much of a novice, I guess. I've done it my own way. It's like one of those things. How do you tell somebody how to walk? You can perhaps maybe try to tell them, but, you know, some things you got to learn yourself. I can tell you how to ride a bicycle, but not until you experience it can you really get good at doing those things. Meditation perhaps is the same way. What works for you? What do you find is the most productive? And I encourage you, if you haven't given yourself to some spiritual, biblical meditation, work on it. You can really see the growth, the changing, how it affects your thinking and the choices that you make. To properly meditate requires quiet time. It requires some efforts to clear your mind. You know, we come here in the assembly on Sunday to worship the Lord, we sing in song, listen to the preacher. Do we tune in? Do we tune in to God's word and what it says? You know, that's something that we control. And so whatever works to help us get there, that's what we need to do. We need to meditate in a better way. Remove the noise. How do you get rid of the noise? Well, it comes in two ways. Not necessarily noise. Distraction comes in two ways. One is noise. Telephones are noise. They can be an annoyance. Television can be an annoyance if you're trying to meditate, if you're trying to read. If you're trying to really do something, get something from something that you're reading, the best thing to do is turn the TV off. Best not be in a room where people are talking, because you're really tuning into them and you're going to be drawn into it and you can get distracted from what you're meditating on. You got to focus. Give it your attention. And secondly, those things that hinder you from being what you ought to be. What hinders you? And our lives are filled with impure thoughts and deeds. They will impact our ability to fully and properly consider that which we ought to be thinking about. In other words, we need to live in an environment that will encourage us to do what is right. Put yourself in that environment where you're encouraged to do that which is right. We need to control what we watch, control what we read, control what we listen to, and control where we go. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, I don't have this here, but Romans chapter 12, yeah, I got just a phrase of it, but I want to read the passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 12, the entire passage, verse 1 and 2, says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You know, there's a lot there to meditate on. It says, what's reasonable? It's not unreasonable, it's reasonable. That our bodies are to be given to Him as a living sacrifice, holy, as God is holy, sanctified, set apart, acceptable to God. Not acceptable to my family, not acceptable to some other people, but I got to be pleasing to God. You know, why do you do what you do? Who are you trying to please in life? Are you trying to please yourself, trying to please family? Or are you trying to please God? If you try to please God, then you owe all to Him. Focus on really what's important. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What? He said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? He says, by the renewing of your mind. Well, when? When do I renew my mind? When I stop and I reflect and I think and I meditate upon what God's Word said. And when I read it and I know what it says and I apply it to my life and make all my decisions and choices around that, not only for me, but for all that I have influence for, then I'm being transformed. I'm being changed. How else can a person be transformed and changed? To be pleasing to God if it's not according to His Word. Again, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And how do you do that? It's by the Word of God. You can't do it without it. It's necessary. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4 and 5, I won't take time to read all of it, but there has the idea of that we have to bring every thought into captivity. Who can control your thinking? Nobody else can but you. You have to do that. And Paul understood that as he wrote that. He was the one who said, even after I preach to others, I have to buffet my body. That after I preach to others, I myself might be a castaway. So that's something we all got to do. We got to control our thinking and our thought process. So it is a matter of priorities. How important is it to you? Now, what do we think? What do we think about? Here's the passage of Scripture that Brother Wayne used 2 weeks ago. It's one that you're quite familiar with. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report. And if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, then meditate or think upon these things. You know, we could spend a lot of time talking about these. And Brother Wayne, he went to every word, every phrase, and he defined it for us. I'm not going to take the time to do that again. But these things are worthy of us to give consideration to in our thought process. Christians ought to consider things that in God's eyes are worthy of our attention, worthy of our thought. God's word is just not put out there for us just to be fillers to read if we just simply want to or if we don't have anything else to do. God has given it to us. He has revealed His will to us so that we can be everything He wants us to be. We're not going to be perfect, but we know what perfection is. It showed us as an example of Christ Himself, the life that He lived. And even as we read about the life of Christ, the events of the life of Christ, His encounters, His teaching, stop right there. Meditate upon it. Let it sink in. Oh, how many times have you heard that up here? Let that sink in. It's a phrase that Brother Wayne uses over and over again. Let that sink in. At first it didn't mean much to me, but every time when he says that now, I said, okay, sob it up. You got to let it sink in. Do we let God's word really sink in? Do we reflect upon it, the teaching, the power that it has to change us, to make us what we ought to be? Thus, we can see not only the need for meditation, hopefully this morning, but also the types of things that we ought to be meditating about. You see, what you pay attention to and what you dwell upon in life will generally determine the kind of decisions you make. And I believe if we spend more time meditating upon the Lord, more time meditating upon His Word and upon our relationship with Him, we will see greater growth, greater spirituality in our life. I believe this to be true. It's just and after a few minutes of meditation of God and His Word, you become closer to Him. And as you become closer to Him, you feel more open to talk to Him in prayer. Now, meditation and prayer are not the same thing. They go hand in hand. But they're not the same thing. Meditation is when you listen to God. Prayer is when you talk to God. Years ago, there was a radio program. Many of you may go back to the 50s, if you do, and 60s. Trying to think of the man's name. Howard. Used to have Howard Discount Stores. Had a radio show from Texas, and it's called Are You Listening? Because if you listen to the radio program, as you listen to it, and I've listened and heard the preachers who picked it up too as well, is after they make a statement or so, they would quote two or three verses, make comments on it, and they look at the audience and said, Are you listening? Okay, it's just a different version of let that sink in, okay? But the truth is, do we listen to God's Word as we read a passage? It doesn't have to be a long chapter. Sometimes people think, I got to do a big check mark and just read, 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 read. Turn the page. Read, 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 read. Turn the page. Are you benefiting from that? Or would you benefit more upon reflecting and meditating upon what you read, maybe a smaller portion, and let it change and transform your life? And I'm not trying to take away anything from reading. Continue doing that if you are profiting from that. But we're talking about biblical meditation today. So do you really want to change your life? You want to change the way you think? I believe perhaps maybe a key is to learn to meditate in God's Word and do it on a regular basis. I challenge you, not only today, every day. Next Sunday, Brother Wayne is back. Take his outline. Take his message. Don't trash it. If you lose yours, I try to have them back on the webpage. Pick one up there. And then reflect upon some of the scriptures. I'm sure you'll be able to bring to mind some of the things that he has said. This is how a person can grow spiritually, how they can be changed and how they can be transformed. Meditation is something that we need so much in our life today. What do you find yourself thinking about? If you find there is a need for a change in your life, will you do it? I would hope so. Most of us want to do things for the good, for the positive of our own being and existence. But you know, meditation doesn't usually just happen. We have to make time for it. And I know we're busy. Who here isn't? We got something that occupies us most of the time, don't we? We all have so many distractions. We got TV, we got work, we got play, we got recreation, we got so many things pulling upon us. That's true. But meditation, thinking about God's Word, helps us to grow. The thing is, the choice is ours. We decide. Now keep in mind, God has given us revelation. It's the Bible. He has given it to us not to benefit Him, but to benefit you and me. God is not better because of giving man this. But because God gave us this, His desire is that we can spend eternity with heaven. And He wants us to go that way. As the psalmist writer said in Psalms 119, in verse 105, the word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. We need to meditate on the fact that our Bibles are given to us by God to meet our needs. And consequently, we need to treat the Bible with respect that it's due, because it is from God. We need to crave any knowledge that we can gain thereby. Like David said long ago, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation day and night." So I'll leave you this morning. I hope I've given you something to think about. I hope that perhaps I've challenged you something in the way that you will look at the lessons. If you're not already, that you will be, try to be mindful that when we leave here, we don't simply leave the lesson in the room. We take it home with us. We take the things that we've heard and that challenge our thinking and help us as we live our lives and that we make choices and decisions, because it will affect where we spend eternity. So if you truly believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God and you are not a Christian, our desire is this morning that you become one. Come in believing faith, acknowledging that He is God's Son. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith before an assembly such as this, before others, and put Him on the act of baptism. And if you do these things, you have the authority of heaven that your sins will be forgiven, that heaven can be yours after a while. If you realize that you have not been faithful, you realize that sin has come into your life, that you are not in duty and service to the Lord, acknowledge that. Repent of that. We'll help you. We'll pray with you. We'll encourage you all that we can so that all things will be right in your relationship with God. A song has been selected. Will you not come as we stand and sing this song?